Yo, this is Daily Shmaine number 285. How you doing? I meant to record this last night. I really did. I like posted something about it and everything, and then I don't know. My nights have been so weird. But anyways, today I want to talk about filters and compound growth. I have a feeling this will be more than one episode or whatever, but you know, I was just thinking about how I use different, I like to use filters on different platforms like Instagram, and even with how I like to edit photo and video, like in Lightroom or Photoshop or Premiere, and I like to layer things, and you know what I mean? Like I'm really into filters, especially now that I'm not kind of dependent on them. I think filters, in terms of like, I feel like traditionally, if I'm talking about filters, most of us, or at least my assumption, is that we're starting with the concept of the filters that we use to affect how others see us, or how we are, perceived and received, and how we're like publishing ourselves or our thoughts or anything. So that is a very like on top of thing. That's a very much like a LUT or a filter on Instagram, and that, you know, and it's also in the hobbies we have and what we share about our lives, and you know, what we tell other people about ourselves, like our own like concept of self is a filter that we use, or the stories that we tell, how honest we are, how open we are, who we tell what. These are all filters that are in some way, you know, serving the purpose of kind of the final pass, the final edit of your interactions with the world, and the kind of the layer between whatever's behind it and the world. And so it affects what other people see, and kind of like, you know, it affects your legacy, not to be dramatic or anything. And like on a side note, like I'm really glad that I got to a place where I am not super dependent on like the filters that, you know, make your eyes bigger and change your, you know, face a little bit and clear up your skin. Like I really do like the ones that emulate like a film look on Instagram and things like that. I love, if I'm doing a dancing video, I love to do like a long exposure. You know, there's different like glitchy ones that are really cool. There's like a slow zoom. Like I do enjoy, I think of those filters we put on top of things as like an element of storytelling. And I really do enjoy them now that it's not like, when I look back at like, you know, certain eras, I was so like silently insecure about my face and about, you know, I just liked the look of myself under these filters so much better that it's like, it was hard for me to find images and videos of me without a filter for like a good like 2 year stretch. And I kind of just, it's a little bit disappointing for me now, but at the time it just seemed, it seemed like a preference, and a lot less sad than it does now. And yeah, and that also brings me to like, well, so I'll talk again about the next level of filtering, which I think is still very surface. It might be right beneath the filters that we use for the public, but it's like the filters we use to affect how we feel and see the world. Things we add on to us from the outside to affect us. And honestly, like this kind of level of filtering to me is like coping mechanisms and like lifestyle choices. And even in a way, like I've been thinking about this every now and then for the past like year or two, like drugs are a filter. You know what I mean? Like, I think when I had a very unhealthy relationship to everything, any sort of substance was for me like an escape sort of, or, like I just couldn't handle my reality raw and I just needed it to be different. I needed to feel differently. Versus now it's more of a tool, you know, now it's more of like, not a compulsion to get rid of anything or pretend that something has changed, but more so literally like a layer of filter, the way an Instagram filter would be, or the way sunglasses work to me. You know, depending on the environment, I might want an extra, you know, filter of color, or, you know, depending on, like, if it's like something fun. Could y'all hear my stomach? Anyways, so yeah, there's that. There's also, like, you know, when you, the other filter I think about on this second level, so like the first one being like almost like a perception one, an appearance one. The next one I think is about, like, the other thing I think about is like what we consume. So like, what you eat, what you drink, what you see, what you listen to, the conversations you're having, whether you have safe spaces, therapy, even your clothing and your relationship to your body are like a filter, that affects, you know, how you experience the world, music, you know, culture, like what you expose yourself to. This is kind of like the growth of who you are comes down to what filters you're willing to try on that second level. And it kind of, I think, informs the direction and the level of comfort you have when expanding, right? So, and I think some people are really into not doing a lot of things to change their experience of the world, or like, you know, there's a lot of pretense, and there's a lot of way that these second layers of filters are used to kind of, I think, distract people from the reality of their lives and their choices, and that's fair. I don't, you know, that's all I can say about it, is it's fair. But I also think it's not necessarily all very conscious. I think that, advertising and marketing and the capitalist machine very much utilizes these second and third levels of filters, these concepts of like filters that manipulate feeling, and filters that manipulate perspective or perception. Because, you know, if you really look at how much advertising has become a part of like personal branding and manipulating someone's self-image and grouping them together, and kind of like proving that you're this type of person, I think that's where it really matters, you know, how much you're exposing yourself to the influence of other people and also advertising, and how solid is your understanding of yourself behind all these filters. I think that affects how consciously you engage with the rest of them. I think there are plenty of like habit forming second level filters, like coffee, alcohol, you know, even gossip and bad habits, I think, are a part of that second level of filtration. And, you know, coping mechanisms in general. So it's like, that is definitely a big area of influence. But I even think that the one that I want to talk about the most, and the one that I think is the most silent, is like a lot of people, you know, we talk about how we have like, you know, issues from childhood or things we're healing from. But that first level of filter is really, there's nobody that's born without a filter. You know what I mean? Like, you get born, and then everything you're exposed to in 0 through 4 adds to your fundamental understanding of the world, like the building blocks through which all of the rest of the building blocks of your understanding are built on. And that's why like attachment styles and different childhood traumas and the correlation between like what the body experiences and autoimmune disease and different things like that. Like, I would say I'm always recommending to people to check out The Body Keeps Score, by, Bessel van der Kolk. I think that's his name. Really, 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 really good book. It's pretty hefty. But it talks about, the body is first of all, the body is not separate from any of these things. It's not separate from the mind. It's not separate from your spirit or anything. So let's knock that out. But it's this really intelligent mechanism that could never forget the way the brain forgets, and forgets in like, you know, air quotes or whatever. So it holds on to these things. And I also was listening to, I think his name is Gabor Mate. I don't know. Honestly, I never like hear him introduce himself. So I will find that out as well. But, you know, I listened to a talk from him about how many, many chronic illnesses and various, you know, diseases and whatnot come down to most of us and most of the medical field's filtration of social and spiritual and economic and, you know, the holistic view of the human being filtered out, and everything being looked at like a little machine. Taking your body to a doctor or any sort of problem in your body is not the same as a problem in your car. This is not a man-made system. You know what I mean? Like, the thing about nature or a living being is that it came from one thing. Every single cell in your body has enough information to make every part of you. It's just that's not its job. And so while different parts of your body have different jobs, none of them are really unrelated to each other. No part of your body, no part of your being, or your experience as the consciousness within your body can actually be separated. And so I think there are filters in terms of like industry and social filtration of concepts that truly affect our ability to heal and use these tools and technologies. But even more than that, like, I think what's more in one-to-one reach mode and what's more like accessible, or what I think has the most effect on what I'll finish with, which is compound growth, is the understanding of the filters that you were given and the filters that you've grown and sharpened over the years that are before even your understanding of yourself. Like, there's a filter in me that it was dictated by the type of, like, the level of standard of cleaning in my household when I was younger, and how much of that responsibility was like injected into my consciousness of like, this has something to do with your worth, and this has something to do with how much you respect me, and this has something to do with how much freedom you deserve. And so there's these conditioning pieces, and I guess that's what the base layer of filtration that I'm talking about here is really the conditioning and the ego and these systems that, you know, are not our whole selves but have a lot of power on our perception of self and the rest of all the other filters we choose consciously. So there's like the filters of what you were conditioned to value. There's the filters of what you are allowed to say, what is allowed to be said, what is comfortable to be said. And a lot of people, you know, I think we can a lot of times like leave our homes and our lifestyles and our families and things and start saying like, oh, well, I want things like this because I grew up like this and da da da. But I guess I want to, you know, just mention that even you saying, oh, I've been through this, so I'll never be like this, is still allowing that filter to kind of make a decision for you. And so it's not that I don't think that that's true. But I do feel like I'm currently in this transition of like healing from things as a start to a refreshed consciousness and to a more clear worldview, and to not kind of getting stuck in these really karmic, cyclical, repeated cycles. I think that's great. I think that's important. And I don't think I could have this conversation without the amount of time and effort I've spent in that realm of healing, where it's like I just needed and was blessed enough to be put into and find a safe space to unpack my worldview around people who have not grown up like me and who can see in much more real time how many things I'm holding on to that are hurting me that are optional for me to hold on to. So of course it's important to heal, and I think that helps you with how you engage with the other two level of filters. But there's filters below our understanding of filters. There's filters of society that get ingrained super, super deep based on a lot of social principles that don't even exist today, can't even be upheld today in the same way. And so it's like being taught and instilled with an operating system that filters out information based on someone else's interpretation of what your needs will be. And I think that's why parenting is so huge in terms of like its impact on us. And I also think that's like why I'm in this position now where like I really can appreciate the attempt that is made with a lot of people and how they raise their kids. And honestly, like everyone does try to do better than they were done unto and everything. So I'm trying to be, you know, cognizant and respectful and accepting of that. But I think that what I needed space away from my, you know, familial and habitual filters to see was like, I needed to be able to see that like, there are things I need that I'm missing and I did not get. And it doesn't have to be like a victim situation. It doesn't have to be I wasn't prepared properly for the world. It's more so like, okay, how do I get those now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a filter that I'm starting to decide to lose and get rid of around, you know, over-identifying myself with the person I am because of my parents, and trying to kind of just accept that my whole life doesn't have to revolve around that conditioning, and that like the point I think of healing to me now is not to just like not be or not feel the way I used to feel. I think it's more like, how do I feel? And more open-ended questions. What filters do that we really need to be cognizant of, and filters like on all the levels. So like filters in terms of like how you want to be perceived by others, and then filters in terms of like what you do in your daily life that affects how you see and how you see others and how you see yourself. And then of course these like super deep subconscious and you know, base level conditioning filters. So what I think we need to look at for those is like, or what I think they do is they ask us like multiple choice questions instead of open-ended questions. And I think like I'm just starting to notice that so much, that people with good intentions start filling in blanks when they're asking questions. Like, let's say someone is like, and I think it's important. Sometimes you should be giving choices. I'm not damning, you know, offering choices or options, because I definitely do that. And I definitely think it's a good place to start. But when you're thinking about who you are, and when you're starting to feel like the way you've been doing things isn't working for you, or you're not growing as fast or in the direction that you want to be, or you're just like realizing you're basing a lot of your personality on what you don't want to be, or on who other people are and how that makes you feel, it's like getting to a point where you can ask yourself open-ended questions and be open to finding out instead of predicting how you will feel in a certain scenario. Like, I feel like I spend so much time predicting how I will feel in a situation. But that itself is a filter. Expectation is a filter. Assumption is a filter. Insecurity is a filter. All these things that our brain and our ego does to protect ourselves are filters that are tainted by all these other things that aren't in your control and aren't necessarily true for you anymore, or don't have to be. I don't think there's like a linear, I know I number things and I layer things, and I always talk from my own perspective, of course. So a lot of times it does probably sound like I think that there's a linear path that I'm following or should follow. And I'm into story. I'm a book person. I like, you know, a good hero's journey or whatever. So of course, like, that's how I think. And I think that's pretty relatively human, but I know for sure that I like that. I like learning and growth and kind of the birth and death and rebirth and all that process. So I don't know. I think I talked about what I talked about. The other thing too is like, understanding everyone has their filters, understanding that, you know, you don't have to change other people's filters. You don't have to fight all the filters you have. You can accept some of the filters you have. But I also think, like, being around people with different filters is huge. And being in a place where you're not, overly defensive is huge, because it's a, like, somebody can point out something that is, you're completely blind to, and blind, you know, let's say, like, you're completely desensitized to, and, having someone notice that about you gives you the opportunity to, especially if you're not overly identified with these concepts, gives you the opportunity to decide, like, do I want that to be my truth anymore? I was talking to a few people this week about that, where it's like, I have, like, these different things of anxiety, and I, you know, ADHD is a filter. I can't stress enough that it's really just not, like, some disease, okay? It's a way of braining. It's a way that your brain does, usually based on a lot of environmental experiences and ways you had to be growing up, but that can be for another time. And of course, like, hereditary and different things, but, what was I talking about? So, like, you know, there's tons of situations where, you know, my progress for a long time was, like, control myself, control this situation, you know, set a standard or boundary for I'm not going to do this, this, and this, or I don't like that. And, like, kind of where I was in my process of, like, being in a relationship with myself is, like, almost like a new parent, where I'm like, no, I need to protect this little baby from ever being uncomfortable, or, you know, I want this to be optimal, otherwise I might not be able to handle it, or like, oh, I hate feeling bad, so I'm going to do everything I can not to feel bad, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm feeling the dissatisfaction of, like, okay, that method of learning has taken me very far. I'm very grateful, but just like how school changes over time, and honestly, I can attest as the dropout philosopher that the way schools change isn't necessarily the example I'm making, but more so just the fact that your curriculum should change and your method of studying and learning, and you should be playing with that, in my opinion. If you are a lifelong learner, you should be playing with the way that you learn often, and the way that you test and practice often. Not even just, like, even if you don't necessarily want to, just for the neuroplasticity aspect of it. I play, this thing called Pokino with my grandma sometimes, and it's got these little, like, bingo boards of playing cards, and there's a bunch of them, and, you know, we play, like, two boards at a time, basically, and you call out cards, and you cover them, and you try to get these little things, and it's great. I find myself always getting new cards each round, even though it's optional, and it's a lot easier to, just keep your cards for a couple rounds. Then you know exactly where stuff is, you don't miss things, you have a better chance of winning and catching things that way. But I am a big believer, a filter that I try to actively continue to utilize and impress is, like, the microdosing of challenge, and, especially when it comes to, like, cognition and doing your best in a moment. Like, you know, I think I just want to keep myself on my toes, because it's easy to forget when a lot of things are optimized or not optimized or whatever. It's easy to forget what it feels like to be bad at something, or to, like, not know what's going on, or to have to try actively really hard to pay attention. So anyways, I don't really know where that was going. I guess I'll end with this, right? There is, to me, I talked about, like, on that first, like, or that third, I don't know, that surface level of filter, where I'm, like, at a point now where I like to use them, and I don't feel any way about them, because I also like to see unfiltered footage, and, you know, I think I was supposed to be in this era of, like, you know, dressing up and like kind of whatever. I don't know about supposed to, but I'm sure I'll be entering that this summer. And I think that that's a good era. I'm excited for that era of intentional filtration and intentionally setting the mood and dressing for the occasion. But for the last few weeks and months, I've been in like a no makeup, like whatever era, like whatever, you know, however I come is however I come. And I guess with the compound growth thing, I think the only thing I can really touch on today is like, when you get to a point, or when I got to a point where I'm like, okay, there are all these filters, and like some of these values are mine, and some of these I still need to feel out and see if they're still mine, or see if they're a weak reflection of me trying to be something other than what I was conditioned, or like, you know, just trying to trace back the filters to who put them there. Do I still like them? Do they still serve me? And so there's like, I think it's a good thing to strip back in your healing, strip back all the layers, strip back all the pretense, strip back what you think you know. That's what I think the main weakness of these two surface levels of filtration and unawareness of this base level of filtration is that you think you know stuff. You think you know what color you're looking at. You think you know how you like to feel. You think you know what you like or what you don't like or how you need to handle something. And it's like, you know, if you know something only under 10 different layers of filters, then you don't know that thing. Imagine if somebody, like, you know, I think we know this, like, if you change all these words to be talking about a person who only sees you at work but has never seen you in an emotional state, or has never seen you, you know, when you're at your happiest or when you're creating, like, there are so many filters in almost every interaction these days that it's hard to believe how little you know. But I think that is a super important thing to recognize. And you can't change how many filters other people use. You can't change the filters of society, like, in one foul swoop or whatever. But finding places where it's safe to take off these filters and explore how you feel and explore what it feels like to be less and less sure safely, cannot recommend it enough, because then it puts you in a position, I think, like, when I strip myself down, I do a lot of, like, detoxes and tolerance breaks of a bunch of different things. Like, there just will be seasons where I don't want to watch any fiction or like, ingest, like, there, I can't do any news or, like, no sort of, like, celebrity anything, like, really just comes into my field. I feel an urge at this moment to, like, defend the fact that it's, like, not me thinking better of myself or whatever, but it's like, honestly, that's not my shit, so if I'm not gonna defend it anymore, it's more so I know why I do it, and I do it because, like, I need baselines for who I am and how I feel, and reacting to stuff all the time it's one way to get to know yourself. But I think that for me, especially because I have a direction I want to grow, I have a desire to grow and become specific types of somethings, and I might be wrong about what the exact something is, but I'm not wrong about the desire to grow and evolve and develop and the birth and rebirth, or the birth and death and rebirth and the phoenix process. I love that. I know I love that. I know I love learning, and like the permanent kind of learning, the kind that changes your brain and rewires you and allows you to be a new person. I love that. I love exponential growth and compound growth. And so for me, what I think I know now or can see in hindsight is that having a really good amount of time to strip myself back. And when I say strip myself back, I mean away from my family, group therapy every week, therapy almost every week, no alcohol. I was sober for 2 years at 21. Kind of just on my own in the world in a way that I had never been before, and strategically connected to certain people who I could be transparent about where I was on my journey, and like learning to cope with the different ways that all this conditioning has created anxiety or different manifestations of anxiety disorders within me, like OCPD tendencies and things like that, and just kind of deciding how much of these I want to continue to identify with and how much of these I think I would like to work on to reduce or work on a new relationship to them. I just think that that portion of time where I detox is very important for me to be able to move forward with speed and intentionality later on. So it's like, I like to get rid of a bunch of things that are affecting my view and affecting what I think I know, and strip back and get down to like baselines and tracking metrics and getting like really granular about what is my baseline right now. And if you can't track something, or if you can't hold a record of something, I'm not gonna say it's not true, but I am gonna say like that's another piece of it. If you can't be held accountable, yeah, I don't know. That's a, like, I'm just realizing how big that is for me. Like, I need spaces that aren't so filtered that they can't hold me accountable. I need spaces that don't have a rose-tinted filter over me to where I can't get real feedback from them or something like that, or I can't speak my mind, you know? So for me, I need to be able to strip back and reprioritize, reorganize, and like clean up and like detox the systems and the worldview and like center. And then from there, as I interact with the world, as I reset, as I feel like, okay, I want to try engaging now. I want to try adding in things. The right filters I feel as an artist call to me, for whatever story I'm trying to tell, whatever feeling I'm trying to evoke, whatever I'm feeling, when I can baseline and I'm not affected by a bunch of things that I know, like that aren't necessarily things I want to be affected by, I can then move forward with intentionality and know that my voice is my voice. Know that the filters I want because I want them and not because I'm running from something or not because I need familiarity. Familiarity is a filter that I think is very dangerous, especially if you have childhood trauma, especially if you have a history of like, you know, relationships that are not healthy and honest and fulfilling or have had lots of betrayal. Like, I don't know. I think that people are really big teachers. Like, relationships are really, really big filters for the world. And it's not that all your relationships have to be perfect or fit into a certain box, but you should know which filters are on which relationships. And I think a lot of times, like, I just kind of, if I can't address that there's a filter there, it's a tough one for me. Or if, like, you know what I mean? If it's truly super unconscious, or if someone is asking me to adopt a filter that is like fundamentally misaligned with who I am, it's like, you know, I'm on a mission right now, and I'm only called to, and only feel like I. I only want to be adopting the filters that are true for me right now, or help me see what I'm trying to see or say what I'm trying to say. And I think that that's okay. If other people are not feeling the same way, that's okay too. But I think like the fact of the matter is like compounding filters is going to compound the speed and direction of which you're growing or solidifying or crystallizing. Every single day as time passes through you and you pass and your time and your experience and your consciousness passes through this filter or are these multiples of filters. Like, I think it's just really important. And then we're looking at like the fucking government and like this, the society that we're in and how many filters, you know, are baked into that, that aren't even working right. They're not even working right. They're not even real. And so it's like, it's just very important to me to be self-governed in this moment. And I think, you know, that allows me that desire to be self-governed and like kind of the situations that have forced me out of depending on other people's filters or, there's just so many ways that I'm not built for a lot of the structures that already exist. So they're not comfortable in the first place. So I already have to customize a lot of life to make it work for me. So I think, like, I'm very privileged in that sense of, like, knowing that one size fits most is I already just don't even assume that that shit's gonna work for me. Not in a bad way, just in a way of, like, I come into things with the intention of hopefully knowing enough about myself or having the systems that I can go to know about myself enough to, like, give myself the best chance at success and give myself the best chance at compound growth. And I think, like, right now, you know, it's not a thing of, like, it's so much different to say no to something that's hurting you and versus to say no to something that is simply clogging your vision. And I also think it's very, very, very hard and scary to say no to a filter that has been protecting you from whatever you've been running from. I think when I got sober at, well, maybe it was 20. It was right before my 21st birthday. I remember, so I'd been in group therapy for a while, and my therapist was like, you know, you should try it, da, da, da. And I'm like, girl, I don't have a problem with this. It's not that big deal. You should have seen me back then, you know what I mean? And it was this point where my roommate got me a bottle of wine. And I just remember being really uncomfortable with how uncomfortable I was not drinking it. And I just noticed this moment that I was like, why am I almost in tears over something that is optional for me? Why am I believing that this is not optional? Why am I allowing something to have power over me? And that's when I had to decide that, all right, even though I don't think I have a problem in a certain way, or even if I don't think, you know, it's that serious, and the people around me are like, yo, like, what are you talking about? You know, even though I'm high functioning, I don't want anything to have this kind of power over me. And I think one thing, if I could give, like, advice at this point, or, like, what I really like about what I learned, is that it doesn't have to destroy your life for you to start wondering whether you need to keep it. Anything you get rid of, you can bring back into your life if it is yours to have. If you are holding on to something that is not yours and it's not for you and it's ruining your life, of course, when you let it go, it will probably be gone. You know what I mean? So there's that. Put that out there. But when I think about what sobriety became for me, I was reeling from so much pain, like fresh and old pain and, like, healing and isolation and, like, just this shattering of what I thought I knew, and having to reinvent myself without those filters and without those things that it's very easy for me to put myself against and reflect myself against. But I think that has made me, that 1000%, that stretch of sobriety has made me so much more independent of certain filters that I don't think there's anything, I'm not judging other people for utilizing these filters, but I know that it slows me down to depend on them. So I think, like, when you're looking at, you know, how much progress you're making in any one direction, or, like, how radical of a change you're going in, or even if you're scared to move too fast in a new direction, double checking your filters is one of the best ways, and implementing filters that will help you is one of the best ways to create opportunities for compound growth. And I think too, like, a lot of people think, like, oh, I need to change myself, or I need to do better, or I need to get my shit together. And it's like, have you removed the filters that make that harder for you? And have you introduced filters that spread out the, obligation? You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, I got to protect my eyes, but you won't put on any sunglasses because you're like, well, I got to protect my eyes. Like, that's okay. Okay. Do you truly believe you have to protect your eyes? Because it's okay if you don't. But that's kind of where I think your compound growth and, like, you deciding, oh, I want to be like this one day, like, really analyze that and see what you believe about that belief. Like, do you believe that that's who you are, or do you believe that's who you should be, or do you believe that's the right thing to do, but you don't necessarily know why? Like, start inspecting that, and then start inspecting your filters, or whichever order you want to do it in, but, you know, you have these filters, not just the ones you're choosing. And, you know, taking them out is not easy, especially if a bunch of people around you have the same one, you know? So I'm not saying it's easy to deprogram and to strip back, but I am saying 1,000%, it feels so good to choose filters on purpose and out of love and creation rather than out of fear or habit or familiarity. Familiarity, I'm starting to realize, is very dangerous for the radical person. If I want a love I've never experienced before, I can't trust familiarity as like the North Star. You know what I mean? Like I the discomfort of discomfort, I have to be able to discern like what is harmful discomfort and what is the discomfort of growth. And I think like that's a filter I'm intentionally putting on in this time period of when discomfort comes to me, I double check it. And not in the way that I've been double checked, not in the way that I've been gaslit, not in the way that I've been questioned or told to silence my fears. I can now that I've done enough like work on it, I can now check myself and it not be an attack. Yeah. And I like that. I'm proud of myself for that. Anyways, this was way longer than I thought, and that's probably why I didn't record it last night. All right. Hopefully I'll see y'all tomorrow. Do another one. Get back to the dailies of the daily schmaze. But yeah, have a great day. Drink some water.